It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Thus magnify thy word above all thy name. Thy word is truth. Study to show yourself approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I wanted to continue what we left off in the first hour. I thought I would get through, but of course we had the communion, so that shortens down our first hour. And we decided to move the song back because Rena has to get somewhere, and so sometimes we shuffle things around a little bit. At any rate, this is the other book I was telling you about. This is a prophetic manifesto by David Reagan, and if you want, I could probably order some more of these periodically. I did order the other ones, but I'll order some more of the books on disaster by Moses Amabiko. I think I did get about 20 of them, but some of you may have one. If you finish reading it, you want to bring it back. Some people didn't get one, but I'll order some more. They're real good about that. They send them out, and we give them grace gifts, and the church supports them as we have opportunity. This particular one was written in 2018, so it's pretty new, and these are things I get at the Berean Call or at the Pre-Tribulational Conference, and of course, we're going down there in December. If you want to join us, this year is going to be particularly good because they're going to be dealing with all the Old Testament prophecies concerning Jesus Christ. I mean, looking at those. And if you got 16 speakers dealing with that, including Dr. Fruchtenbaum and Dr. Stephen Gehr, Hebrew Christians, it ought to be just a real hoot and a joy to listen to all these guys. So some years, not as excited about some of the things that they teach, but this particular year is really going to be a good one. So if you might consider it, you know, now's the time. Get your reservations down there and your airlines and so forth. At any rate, he has this prophetic manifesto, and I just wanted to read a few things here. And again, this is the negative, and we're going to have some of that for a time here in Galatians, but it's all good. It's all part of our understanding. And in this, he says, the death of America. We were looking at the death of the Roman Empire, the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. And this is what he says here, our rejection of God. We've given the boot to the very one who made us great and showered us with blessings. Now, we're courting the wrath of God. Here's one of the things he said. Since 1973, that's a long time ago, we've been murdering our babies in their mother's womb at a rate of 4,000 a day. A day. People worry about the 911, oh, the towers, we lost 2,000. We're killing 4,000 babies a day, and nobody says a word. It's just a mother's choice, right? Totaling nearly 6 million, and their blood cries out for vengeance. We consume more than one half of all the illegal drugs produced in the world, more than one half illegal drugs in this country. Yet, we contribute only 4% of the world's population. And we have over half of the drugs, illicit drugs. That's not talking about prescribed medication, which some people abuse as well. We spend $13 billion a year on pornography. We could take care of all the homeless and the poor and the destitute right there in a heartbeat. $13 billion on pornography. 60% of all internet porn websites are hosted in our nation. Our total of cohabiting partners has increased from 500,000 in 1960 to over 14 million in 2018. And that, of course, is not a husband-wife situation where they would just be man and woman. These are all the others. And I understand now there's 150 sexes. I'm not sure how that works. But anyway, I always thought there were two. So silly me. People have come up with the strangest things these days. Our divorce rate in 2018 was the fifth highest in the world. 46%, almost half of the people who get married in this country say, that's it, I'm done, I'm out of here, for whatever reason. 40% of all our children are born to unmarried women. Why are the children not disciplined and trained in the Word of God and nurtured? They don't have fathers. We lost $119 billion in various forms of gambling. Oh, it's just fun. We got the lottery. Well, look what the lottery supports. You know, it supports all these wonderful causes. It's just a little gambling. $119 billion. Take that. Take care of all the poor and destitute. One number, our number one drug problem is alcohol. And we're talking about all these other things, and obviously they're, you know, vaping. Oh, vaping is the most terrible thing in the world. What about cigarettes? What about alcohol? You know, I don't think people are dying in that car accidents from vaping. I don't think it's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. I think any of that stuff is ridiculous. But whatever happened to alcohol? Whatever happened to tobacco? 30 billion adults who either alcoholics or are abusing alcohol. Our nation has become a debt junkie, leading the world in both government debt and personal debt. We could never solve the debt problem in this nation, ever. At this point, I don't see how we can ever do it. And pretty soon there won't be enough people working in this country to support the people who aren't. And all the other things that we support around the world that are ridiculous. And then things like climate change and stuff that we pour billions into junk. It's just absolutely unbelievable. What was I hearing the other day? I guess I forgot now. Something they're building. Some gigantic, water in the ocean. Ah, yeah. Billions of dollars, this big, gigantic thing they're building that takes the wave motion. They'll put it out in the ocean somewhere. And this wave machine is going to cost billions of dollars, and it will take the wave motion and convert it into electricity. It's free electricity. Billions of dollars. Do you ever watch a program on television called Abandoned? If you get a chance, there's a program called Abandon. It shows all the things that were built with the greatest intentions all around the world, many of them by Nazi Germany, and they're all abandoned. They're gigantic, monstrous constructions that are sitting there, bridges to nowhere, things like that that have been built and they're no longer used, and they're just sitting there like an eyesore on the landscape, and they're rusting and deteriorating and poisoning the water and all sorts of, they're called abandoned. And I'm thinking in the future, if the Lord tarries, this monstrosity for billions that they're going to build out in the ocean to save us from fossil fuel, which isn't fossil fuel, but they're going to save us from gasoline, and they're going to make the waves do the energy and make way. And someday that thing, if they ever get it built with billions, is going to sit out there rusting away, and it'll be on the program Abandoned. The people of the 20th century thought that somehow they would save the planet and have electricity by wave motion, and there it'll sit. And I'm thinking, we're pouring our money, your tax dollars, into these insane ideas that someday abandon. By the way, World War II and all of that, we built shelters, hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of shelters all over the United States, underground. There was one near Pottstown, Pennsylvania, because I knew one of the engineers, and he took us over there and showed us the door on top, and this thing was all underground. And he had been down there. He couldn't go down and show us, but he said, down here, there's an entire complex underground. And I, what? And there's this big door into the ground, and it's underground. It was one of these places where the people who are important, not you and I, the people who are important can go if there's a nuclear attack. Of course, if there's a nuclear attack, you know, you just crawl under your desk. That's what they told us. Remember in school? Just get under your desk, nuclear attack, and that'll save you. I remember as a kid, I thought, that doesn't sound right. A nuclear attack, that'll burn everything. Just get under your desk. Okay, I did what I was... So I was under there messing with the girls, you know. But anyway, it's just... insanity. Debt junkies, here we go again. Our prison population is increasing exponentially from 500,000 in 1980 to over 2.3 million in 2018. We have the highest incarceration rate in the world. We talk about all the third world countries and all the terrible things, and they certainly do terrible things. We got more people in prison today than anyone else in the whole world with a smaller population. 1.5 million of our women are reported victims of domestic violence. 1.5 million. And it's estimated that the majority of cases are never reported. Most women just take a beating and don't say a word. And we've seen it on drama television, on a lot of the different crime shows where they get the woman and she's been beaten up and her husband, I don't want to press charges. And then she gets beat up again or killed and, you know, she didn't want to press charges. And so a lot of these go unnoticed. We're currently averaging over 4 million child abuse cases involving 7.2 million children. Child abuse. and that's not just sexual abuse, but certainly includes it. We experienced more than 1.2 million violent crimes in 2016 and more than 17,000 people murdered. Teen violence has increased exponentially, with youngsters killing each other over tennis shoes. One of our fastest growing businesses in the pagan practice is tattooing and body piercing. You want to invest in something? Don't do it. You invest in that. That's a growing business. Oh, well, maybe now it's eclipsed by vaping and marijuana, where you can sell it, you know. All levels of government have become increasingly oppressive, seeking to regulate every aspect of life. Hello, Washington. We're experiencing one major disaster after another in unprecedented volume and ferocity. Now, again, this is kind of discouraging, but remember, we serve the King of Kings. God's going to deliver us, and it's got to get worse before it gets better. I hate to tell you. I'd like to have better news. Daniel went into captivity, and he was good. He honored the Lord, and when he went in captivity, he still honored the Lord, and God blessed him. So whatever happens, whatever befalls us, we are children of the King, and God knows what's coming down. But we do grieve for our nation. Jesus wept for Jerusalem. He wept for his people. He said, I wish, like a mother hen, I could gather you together as chicks under my wings. But you wouldn't have me. One of his own disciples betrayed him. Even Peter is faithful. I don't know him. Him? Oh, I don't know him. Surveys of the Barna Group reveal that among those claiming to be evangelicals, oh, well, we got the Christians, 37 do not believe the Bible is totally accurate. Over a third of Christians in evangelical churches don't believe the Bible. Parts of it, here and there. 45% do not believe Jesus was sinless. Well, maybe he became God, you know, at the baptism he realized, hey, maybe I'm the Messiah. 52% do not believe Satan is real. Oh, yeah. You mean that guy? Oh, yeah, I'm dressing up like Satan on Halloween. I got this costume. It really looks good. I went into a Halloween store the other day. You been to one of those? I mean, it's like, it's incredible. They got every kind of mask and stuff. I was just walking through there with my mouth open. I couldn't believe all the stuff there. We're going to a monster party dancing today, and we were thinking maybe we could. I'm curious to see how they're going to dress up. I'm going as a gangster. You see, I'm a gangster. I got my fedora over there and some sunglasses, and Judy's going as my mall. You know, I'm not dressing up like the devil. I was going to get a Thompson submachine gun, but I thought that might be over the top. They had one down at this store, a plastic one. Trouble is, it was like yellow and green, and I want something that looks real. I don't want one of them things that's yellow and green, so when I have it, the cops will think, oh, that's a toy. Of course, a good way to have a good Thompson submachine gun would be to paint it yellow and green and blue and be a real gun, and they'd think, oh, that's a toy. Satan isn't real. 50% of Christians don't believe in the devil. 57% do not believe Jesus is the only way to eternal life. Well, he's one of the ways, you know. Evangelicals. 57% believe that good works play a part in gaining eternal life. In other words, your works. Over half of the Christian evangelicals, that'd be Baptists, the Bible-believing churches, they believe that you have to maintain your salvation through good works, or you have to do some good works, or you have to walk an aisle, or raise a hand, or whatever it is that they have you jump through a hoop to become a believer, or to live the Christian life. Faith alone in Christ alone is gone. In the evangelical churches. First chapter of Romans deals with God's dealing with a rebellious nation. He's going to step back, lower the hedge of protection, and allow evil to flourish. The first result of this action will be an outbreak of a sexual revolution, which occurred in this nation in 1960. You remember the 60s? Some of you weren't even born then. I was born in the 60s. That's where it started. That was that hippie generation in the 60s. I wasn't part of it, you know. I kind of was interested in it. All that. Once that music got really bizarre, I was out of there. I liked the 50s music and the first part of the 60s. And then it got real, you know, Sgt. Pepper and all that stuff. The Beatles went off the rails. They got into all that Eastern mysticism. And that's when I bailed out. And I just, and from then on, it's gone downhill. Sexual revolution. Free love, they called it. It wasn't free and it wasn't love. If the nation refuses to repent, God will take a second step back, lower the hedge again, and a plague of homosexuality will be unleashed. Romans 1:26. That happened in our nation in the 1980s and accelerated in the 1990s. If a nation continues in sin with no sign of repentance, God will take a third step back. And it says in Romans 1:28, he delivered them over to a depraved mind. In other words, lunatics. You know, insane. The Old Testament says unbelievers that continue in their way eventually go mad. And so you're hearing on the news media sometimes, seems like they're crazy down in Washington. Yeah, they are. They're going insane. I mean, they state things that they know are false as truth. They believe the lie, and it's just awful. It's ghastly. And you keep raising your hand. Has anybody down there got a brain in their head? And I don't like to get political, but we got a president who's fighting tooth and nail for sanity down there. Whether you like all the things that he does, you know, not everybody likes everything that any president ever does, but he's fighting for sanity. Just get a little sanity down there in Washington. And it's like he seems like he's the only guy. Oh, there's a couple in Congress, but most of them are willy-nilly. We need to compromise. Right is right and wrong is wrong and a lie is a lie, and it's not I was just kind of fabricating a little bit there. What was this guy did something I heard on the news? He made this whole thing up about Trump's phone call, and then they released it, and the guy, the whole thing was a pack of lies. He didn't think Trump would ever release it, and he fooled him. He released it. And it's lies, lies, lies. And think, is there anyone in Washington with a brain that hasn't gone crazy? And we weep for our nation like Daniel wept for his nation. Like Ezekiel, like Jeremiah. Jeremiah went to the king and says, you can't do that. King put him in the toilet. He was in the septic tank. He was in there up to his neck. And he wouldn't capitulate to the king. So the king said, get him out. I want to ask him again. Will you do such and so? And Jeremiah said, nope. Okay, back in the toilet. That's what they thought of the prophets. We read, Jeremiah, great prophet. He had a rough time. Ezekiel had a rough time. Daniel had a rough time. They were in captivity. Yes, they had blessing by God. They had a rough time. It's coming to this country. So you better buckle up. With Bible doctrine. We've reached the point of no return, at least so says David Reagan. I hope he's wrong. Which is identified by biblical prophets as the point where the wound cannot be healed. Jeremiah 30, Micah 1:9, Nehemiah 3, other places. The wrath of God, Amos 3, 6 and 7, Proverbs 3, 25, on and on and on. And of course, we have quoted from Chronicles many times, if that nation who is called by my name humbles itself and prays and seeks my face, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. That's for Israel, but the application is true for any nation. And right now, this nation is full of sin. Over 50% of our nation is embroiled in heinous, terrible sin of every kind you can imagine. We signed our nation's death warrant on June 26 when we celebrated the Supreme Court decision that legalized same-sex marriage. Our president even had the audacity to light up the White House in the colors of the sexual perversion movement. Public opinion shows that only 9% of Americans have a biblical worldview. 9%. 10% of the Christians, not out of the world, just the Christians' biblical worldview. I'm sorry, Americans. Okay, 9% of Americans. And even more perilous is the fact that only 17% of professing Christians have a biblical worldview. It's just unbelievable. And when we talk about a biblical worldview, most of them don't even know the Bible stories, let alone the principles of the Word of God. Well, by golly. Oh, I have 15 minutes yet. Good. All right. I wanted to get through that last week, and so pardon my digression. I think those things were important to review. If you're interested, you can get those publications. I'll order some more for you. You can read all the rest of it. I've read both of those excellent presentations, these wonderful men of God. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. We start a new section. New section here. Paul says the spirit and the flesh are in conflict. Hello. Is that news? The Holy Spirit or the spirit in you is in conflict with the old sin nature. The spirit and the flesh are in conflict. Galatians 5 and verse 16. And so here we have this passage, and it's no news to us. And so we say, well, we could skip this. We understand this, but it's the Word of God, and we don't skip over things just because we don't like them. And, of course, you're not going to like these verses that come up down here. For example, in verse number 19, it says, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, and he goes on, 17 sins. 15 in the Nestle text, the majority text, that's the one where they have later manuscripts closer to our day, they've added a few. Not because they're wrong or bad, and we're not sure, you know, it doesn't change anything because they're mentioned elsewhere. It's just whoever was the scribe in some of the manuscripts added them in. The more ancient manuscripts didn't have those two, but it doesn't matter because everything else covers those sins because some of them are duplicated. The first four deal with sexual sins. And so either the first three or the first four, what difference? They're all dealing with sexual sins. And Paul says here, by contrast, but if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you be consumed by one another. Verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit. So you think, oh, finally we get to the positive. Not so fast. Walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. I think we looked at part of this last week. Here we have the Holy Spirit indicated by means of, and we had a big discussion at our breakfast with R.D. Fortner and Brad Congdon and other folks that come and join us for breakfast, Kendall, and we were discussing this in and on business. Is it by the Holy Spirit or in the Holy Spirit? Well, it doesn't say. It's a textual decision, and we are both in the Spirit, that is to say we live in the sphere of the Holy Spirit, but we also have the Holy Spirit living in us, and so we live by means of the Holy Spirit. So we have what we call locative case. It's actually a dative. It has the same ending in the Greek language called the dative, but you can have dative which is locative, that means located in, we're in the Spirit, and then we have the instrumental of means, also dative, which means by means of the Holy Spirit. And so when it's not specific in the context, I see both. We're both in the Spirit and we are living by means of the Holy Spirit who indwells us. So in the Spirit here, or by the Spirit, and the word is walk, peripateo. We talked about that last week. Peripateo, the word walk, doesn't just mean walk around, it means way of life. And so it's an idiom for your way of life. What's your walk like? What's your Christian walk? What does that mean? Do you walk funny? Do you walk with a limp? No. It means how do you live your life? And that is peripateo. Elsewhere in Galatians 5:18, we're going to see it a little bit later, it says to be led by the Spirit. Now they're clearly being led by the Spirit. You wouldn't be led in the Spirit, you see. So the context there demands being led by means of the Spirit. So we might say here it's being in the Spirit, but it could also be by. So we're both in the Spirit and we're led and walk by means of the Holy Spirit. And we see this here also in Romans 8:4. We note that that whole section in chapter 8 of Romans deals with the indwelling as well as the filling of the Holy Spirit. If you've studied through Romans, many of you have with Pastor Thiem years ago. I think you spent like a year and a half in Romans 8 and then another year and a half before that in Romans 5. And not without purpose, because those chapters are tough and they're important, and some people just got lost in the shuffle as far as those particular subjects. Last time we looked at the lust pattern, the old sin nature, we talked about that. We gave you the seven lusts, and so now I can give you a piece of paper. You could write them all out. They are ego lust, power lust, approval or approbation lust, the desire to be approved and to be liked and to have people put you up in front of them as an example. Monetary lust, got to have more stuff, more money. money, wanderlust. If I just go somewhere else, things will be better. This town stinks. I'm going somewhere else. And you go there and the town stinks there because you took the stink with you. Wanderlust. Oh boy, we got that today. Oh, I know there's aliens out there. Billions and billions of light years in space. Must be people out there. They see UFOs and all these kind of things. And wonder. We want to wonder. We want to see healers and all kinds of miracles. Well, in the tribulation, there are going to be miracles, satanic miracles, that will fool all but the elect. And so if that time hadn't been shortened, no flesh would be saved alive. And so that's why God has to shorten the tribulation down to about 7 years, because of the great deception of the Antichrist under the auspices of Satan himself. And then sexual lust. I don't know why that's last. It really isn't. That ought to be up near the top. Ego lust and sexual lust, probably the two, and followed immediately by power lust, simply being in control. People want to be in control. Doesn't matter how small, the smallest organization, a baseball team, a society, people want to be in charge. Take over. All right, and then the flesh, we noted, by the way, I put up here the flesh. We noted this before, but just where do we get this old sin nature business? Old sin nature. It's put together, it's a composite of three concepts, because we know that the sin nature is old. That's paleos. Paleos, where we get paleontology. Paleos means old. P-A-L-A-I-O-S means old. Paleos comes from the Greek. Pardon me. And it means old. We see that in Ephesians 4:23. We see it in Romans 6:6 and elsewhere. Then we have the word sin, and that's hamartia, H-A-M-A-R-T-I-A. Hamartia. Hamartia, and we have a rough breathing here, comes down as an H-A-M-A-R-T-I-A. Hamartia, sin. Now, obviously, it's sin, singular, because it's the nature that produces sins, plural. So the old sin nature. And in this old sin nature, we have a tendency towards weak things, the lust pattern, or to strong things, where we try to be in charge, like the power lust, the ego lust, things like that, where we dominate, trying to rule things and run and be in charge. And that's Romans 8:2. Romans 8:2. And then finally, down here, we have the third one, which is Phusis, P-H-U-S-I-S, P-H-U-S-I-S. It speaks about the nature. The nature, and that's found in Ephesians 2:3. So that's where it comes from. There's no place in Scripture that says, you talk about the old sin nature, where do you get that? Most of the time, Paul doesn't even use this. He calls it the flesh. But the flesh is equated with the sin that came as a result of the genetic code from Adam. All sin came into the world through Adam. That's explained in Romans. Don't have time to develop it right now. And so it's as old as Adam. So to call it the old sin nature, for Adam it was new. For us, it's old. It's as old as Adam. Sin, because it produces sin. So it is the basis, the principle of sin. Romans talks about the principle or the nature of sin. And in Ephesians, it calls it a nature. It's the natural course of man. Natural course of man is to be sinful. It's his nature. And we got it from Adam. It's as old as Adam. So it's the old sin nature. It's a composite. Dr. Chafer in his systematic theology, later on Pastor Thiem and many, many others of us, have incorporated that acronym, OSN, Old Sin Nature. That's where it comes from. It's not a made-up thing. It's just simply a combination of three things. We could call it the Old Sin Nature Flesh and add the word flesh, because that's also a synonym. It's old, it's sin, it's the natural course of man, and it's the flesh. Paul calls it the flesh over and over. I think in Romans we were looking at, Romans 8:3-13, he mentions flesh, 13 times. Flesh. Romans 8:3-13. 13 times there he mentions it. And of course we've seen it already in Galatians 5:13. In the previous there where it talks about, don't take the freedom that you have into it, make it into an opportunity for the flesh. So Paul keeps that in mind, and when he gets to Romans, he vexes eloquently with this concept of flesh. And then he says, and the lusts of the flesh you will not fulfill. How? If you have the indwelling and filling and enabling of the Holy Spirit. All right, that's that one. And we got a couple minutes left. Take a look quickly at verse 17. Now, some of these verses are going to be a little easier until we get down there to verse 19, 20, and 21. And that's going to be the negative. I almost wish I could just skip over those verses. Most people do. They just randomly read through there. But we're going to look at each of them. And one of those sins or several of those sins are going to hit you and me right between the eyes. And then we can confess them and move on. Get over yourself. Get over it. Move on. Because your sins are behind the back of God because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now he has another four. Gar, G-A-R in the Greek, because. So he says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires, the lust pattern of the old sin nature. Because, why? Because the old sin nature does certain things. Because the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit. Against the Spirit of God, against your spirit. So in your body, and somebody has put it as the white dog and the black dog, or the good dog and the bad dog, and they attack each other. The good dog is the Holy Spirit in your life. Bad dog is the old sin nature in your life. And they're attacking each other. And Paul does it here and elsewhere. He says, the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit. Sets its desire. By the way, we have the word epithumia here for the desire eager desire or long for, passion upon passion, and so it indicates the lust of the old sin nature. And the flesh has this lust pattern. It sets its desire against the Spirit. Against the Spirit is the word kata. Looks like this. You're familiar with it. K-A-T-A in the Greek, and then pneuma. P-N-E-U-M-A. Kata. And pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A. We know pneuma because we have like pneumatic tools, air tools. Pneumatic means air, wind, breath. So breath, and we usually translate as spirit in the Bible because we're talking about the new wind, the new breath, the new spirit is the Holy Spirit. So they usually capitalize it as they did here. What's kata? Kata usually means according to a standard, but it can also mean against. And in this particular compound, it means against. To be against the Spirit. Clearly, it's that in context. So sometimes the preposition meaning is determined by the context. And so here it says this: it's against the Spirit, but the Spirit is against the flesh. Now we have these things are in conflict. No news here. So the Spirit and the flesh, against the flesh, kata again, against the flesh, sarkos. The word sarx is flesh, and it is used as a metaphor. Doesn't mean you can look at your fingers and say, ooh, there's the old sin nature there. It's in every cell of your body. It's part of the makeup of the DNA of your body. The only way to get rid of the old sin nature is to get rid of your body. Well, you can't do that. I just cut my finger off. There goes the old sin nature. Oh, but it's in this one. Oh, it's in it. You're out of luck. How do you get rid of the old sin nature? A resurrection body. When we are resurrected, we get rid of it. In the meantime, we're born again, and we simply have a battle going on in our lives. And if you haven't noticed it this week, stand by, because today or tomorrow, you're going to have a conflict with somebody, with some situation, with some organization, or within your own self. Do I do this or do I that? You're going to have that conflict. Sometimes they picture, you know, over here's an angel on this shoulder, over here's the devil, and the devil say, you go do this, and Jesus says, don't do that. Yes, do this. No, don't do that. I mean, they make a joke out of it, but really, there's a conflict in your soul. And the question is, are you going to for the Word of God and the filling of the Spirit, or are you going to go to the old sin nature and its lust pattern? And we all have that weakness, and don't look at me like, it's not me, it must be somebody else. This guy is over here. Boy, I wish Joe was here. He's got one of these. No, you have one too. I have one too. And we all fight these demons. Different ones. What is my temptation is not your temptation. Well, maybe it is. I'm not telling you. But your temptation is not my temptation, but you have one. And you may have overcome 90%, but that one thing nags at you constantly, and you fight it, and you fight it, and you fight it. It's in the lust pattern of your old sin nature. You say, Lord, take this away. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? His old sin nature. Thanks be to God, through Christ, I have the victory. If it weren't for that, man, I'd be totally lost, Paul says. The very thing that I want to do, I don't do, and the thing I don't want to do, I do. Paul, are you crazy? No, he's saying, I want to do the right thing, and yet the body in me doesn't want to do it. And so I have this conflict going on. In Romans, he talks about that. And we all have it. The question is, will you opt for the Word of God? It's a decision. We live our lives one moment by one moment by moment. You know, you can say, what are you going to do in February? I don't know what I'm going to do next February. People say, well, you have an appointment. I could care less. I have to deal with right now and 10 minutes from now, maybe. You tell me what we're going to do in February, I'll put it on the calendar and worry about it then. We don't know what tomorrow brings. You have to live right now. And we live right now, one decision after another decision after another. You either make good decisions or lousy decisions every minute of every day. And as a believer growing in doctrine, hopefully you make more and more good decisions and less bad decisions. Okay, the bad decision, I blew it. All right, Father, I confess my sin, 1 John 1:9. Get over it. Move on. Stop doing that. Grow up, spiritually speaking. Keep taking in the Word of God. If you're not taking in the Word of God consistently by being in Bible class or studying Bible doctrine, either by tapes or some type of electronic, you're missing out. It's like not eating for a week. Well, I come to Bible class every other week. Ain't enough. Do you eat every other week? You've got to feed on the Word of God because you get away from it and the old sin nature is just like, you know, remember, was it Pac-Man? It eats away at your life, and the disease and the sickness of the old sin nature is eating away at your life. And you've got to take the inoculation, and here is the syringe, and you've got to inject the Word of God into your soul every day, every minute of every day. You need to pray without ceasing and do those things. Do we do it? No. Do I do it? No. I keep working on it. It's a lifelong struggle. I asked Colonel Thiem one time, does it get better? He said, no. You get one question asked and you answered by God and you get three more. And every time I learn something new, I have three more questions. And it never gets easier. It actually gets harder because the evil things that come into your life are much more subtle. You don't do the same evil that you did as a foolish young Christian. Now you're moving into maturity and the subtleties of evil and your old sin nature sneak up on you. You go, oh, and you didn't see that one coming. And there you are in sin and you go, oh, Lord, forgive me, you know. You're not going to get over it, but you have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Well, we got to stop there. We'll come back in verse 17 next time. Father, thank you so much for your Word that lives and abides forever. Thank you for these things that Paul teaches us to be wary of the evil that is within us, this old sin nature, let alone the evil in the cosmic system, let alone the demons and Satan himself, but all of these things that we struggle against. But you are greater in us than he who is in the world. Thank you for that, Father. We pray that you help us through your Word and through your Spirit to live the kind of life that you desire for us, that we might be coming into your presence, hearing those words, well done, good and faithful servant. For we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.
wonderful.